Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
It's Absolute Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard. Today, I'm joined by a singer and a songwriter who started her country music journey when she got a job at Dollywood, the theme park, Dolly's theme park. She's gone on to release a platinum certified single and win a Grammy Award. Carly Pearce, welcome back to the UK.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you back.
I'm really happy to be back.
Yes. So I'm thinking C2C debut 2019. Mm-hmm. Was that your first time in the UK?
It was.
And what was that like for you? Do you remember?
Oh, yes, I remember. I just was so excited to get to see how I had always heard about fans over here being mm-hmm. so into artists, not just the songs that they heard on the radio. And I got to really experience that. And it was a really special time. And then came back in 2022 and did my own tour. And I'm happy to be back at C2C.
So is that the last time you were back, 2022?
Yes.
All mm-hmm. right, great. So here you are. So much has happened since then.
Yeah,
a lot has been going on. Yeah. So it's great that you're coming back with, I mean, you were already one of the most exciting artists around at that time. And then it just seems like it's just gone from the next level to the next level to the next level. Has it felt like that for you?
Yes. Well, especially I think there are moments as an artist that you can equate how much has happened in a period of time.
Sure. Like winning a Grammy, for example.
Totally. Or just thinking about the last time that I was here at C2C.
Right.
Versus now,
yeah.
How much my life has changed. It's like, wow, there has been a lot of growth. There has been a lot of success and just milestone moments that
and not even
believe.
Just like career change, like mm-hmm. personal life change as well.
Yeah, I think I was engaged when I was here last time. Oops, it's fine, we're better.
A lot. But you know, I'm gonna say something and you're gonna be like, what? Hold on. And maybe you're gonna stomp out of here. But
no, I won't.
What I have always thought, the art that came out of all of that terrible personal stuff mm-hmm. was so brilliant. And it not only obviously great for you as a person, great for you as an artist, but great for people to hear that they are not alone in the stuff that they're going through. Mm-hmm. What a huge help it will have been to so many people. And so what I was going to say, which sounds a bit crass, is actually, it's a reminder to everybody that all of that awful stuff can sometimes be the best thing to go through. Is that fair?
Yes, for sure. You never know why you're going through something and you can feel like it's the worst thing in the whole world at the time. But I mean, looking back 4 or 5 years now after, it really was the best thing that ever happened to me on many levels, not just the success of my record or anything of that sort or where my career's at because of all of that, but just because I feel like my purpose as a human being has risen to a level where I get to talk about, I get to be a face for maybe people, especially that are younger, that feel like divorce is a bad thing or feel like they can't leave a relationship that doesn't serve them anymore or that they can't get through hard things, when I am now showing you that you can.
Yeah, or, you know, I'm afraid to leave this relationship mm-hmm. because I'm afraid I'm going to be alone.
Yeah.
Or people are going to think I'm a failure. You know,
yes.
All of those things that everybody kind of turns around in their head when they're mm-hmm. going through what is already a super heightened emotional state anyway. So
yes.
Nobody's really thinking clearly.
I had all those thoughts at some point.
Yeah, and how important it is for people to hear that. And also, as an artist, like, it just matured you in such a way that probably you didn't see coming, that nobody saw coming. It just took you from an artistry standpoint to a whole other level.
Yeah. Even during that time that I was going through the divorce, my producer Busby passed away
yes.
from glioblastoma brain cancer. So I lost so many different things and was trying to figure it out. And what's so beautiful about that story is meeting my now producer producers, co-producers, Shane McAnally and Josh Osborne, and just cultivating this country sound that really was what I moved to Nashville to make. It's just been a really beautiful journey of loss that turned into such such fulfillment as an artist.
Well, thank you for being so personal about it and sharing it as well, because you could have, which is totally valid, by the way. It's also valid to go through that stuff and not use it in your mm-hmm. art. You know, there are people going through stuff all the time and they continue to make happy-go-lucky songs where you're skipping down the street and doing the boot scoot, and that's fine too. But also just to be brave enough to share that with people is a real thing. So thank you on behalf of everybody for doing that, because mm-hmm. it's great for everybody to know that even if they're, you know, looking at Carly Pierce up there, you know, in her rhinestones, looking pretty as a picture, she's going through something as well. And I think that's important for people to hear.
Yeah, it's almost humanized me for fans in a way that I did not think I was going to put any of that music out, quite frankly. I was just writing it.
Because it was so personal.
Yeah, not because I was ashamed of it, because I really didn't think that my record label would let me. And I also did not think that anybody... I remember playing 29 for a group of friends. And I was like, wait, you're connecting to this song? Like, why? I didn't understand, because it was...
Because it was so personal to you.
Yeah, I was like, how are you relating to this? And they're like, oh my God, this is so many people's stories.
Yeah, but also whenever I play that song, I always say, look, whatever you're going through, listen up to what happened to Carly Pierce in 1 year, you know, and then you're going to feel fine. It's all going to be okay. I want to go back a little bit to Dollywood.
Yeah.
So I grew up just down the road from Dollywood. In Bristol.
No way.
Yeah, my whole family is still there. And so I grew up going to Dollywood like more times than I can count, right? It was, you know, my dad's factory. That's where they went for the outing. Like me and my friends would go, family, blah, Dollywood.
Oh, yes.
Right? And every time I go back now with anybody from Britain, they're like, we have to go to Dollywood. Okay, we're going to Dollywood. So I know, and I had friends who performed at Dollywood, and it was like the biggest moment. And there you are, young Carly Pierce. 16, were you?
Mm-hmm.
16. Off you go to Dollywood, which at the time to perform in the, for, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but it's a theme park, everyone. But there's also lots of music, live music, lots of Dolly's family do shows there.
Yes.
There's a big old steam train. I've got a whistle from it that we use on the show frequently.
That's incredible.
But it is... I know from my friends who got those shows, it was like the biggest thing that could happen, mm-hmm. going to work for a summer performing at Dollywood. Mm-hmm. So take us through young Carly Pierce arriving at Dollywood. What was that like for you?
Well, I grew up in Northern Kentucky, so I lived like 4.5 hours from Dollywood, but I saw an audition to sing in one of those shows, and I was finishing my freshman year of high school, and I thought, oh my God, this would be so much better than starting my sophomore year to go sing country music at Dolly's theme park. Great. So I just naively went to my parents and I said, hey, can I quit high school and work in this show? And they were like, no. And I said, well, hang on, let me, I said, I give me the summer to find a homeschooling program that would get me into a college, which I had no plans to go to college, but I knew that my dad needed me to say that in order for me to be able to do this. And they let me. And so I left high school. I moved to Pigeon Forge in a one bedroom grizzly bear decorated. Yeah, it was...
Anywhere you're staying, in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg, there are bears.
And jacuzzi tubs in the bedroom. It's
absolutely,
very awkward.
Absolutely.
So, like, sharing a one bedroom with my mom with a jacuzzi in the room was weird. but yeah, I mean, I was the youngest by, like, 6 years, so you think the difference between 16 and 21-year-olds is very large. And I just went in. I got my driver's license, like, 2 weeks before I moved there, and I walked in, and I did 6 shows a day, 5 days a week, and I actually just got to go back there with ABC and do a segment for this Dolly special that they were doing, and some of the people that I worked with that knew me as, like, the young kid, they now are working in, you know, different parts of the entertainment there, and it's just fun to see that they all thought I was going to do this. I think they thought I was the one that was going to do it.
Did you think you were the one?
Yes, I did.
Amazing.
And I know that sounds like...
Good. I know. I'm glad you said that.
I did.
Because I think there are some people who don't think that and it happens, and some people do think that and it doesn't happen. But there's also something about owning it and being like, yeah, I know what I got here.
I just felt like it was a stepping stone, and I felt like it would be a really good life. There are plenty of people that make their life there. And it's a wonderful situation. But for me, it was always meant to be a stepping stone. And I knew that I was going to do it and then move on.
Oh my God, how wonderful. And what a full circle moment as well to go back and do that. But also, you know, you've worked with Dolly Parton now. You've done loads of things with Dolly. Mm-hmm. What a, you know, what a mind-blowing moment.
Oh, if I could tell my 16-year-old self that Dolly was going to ask me to be a member of the Opry, or I was going to get to sing 9 to 5 and Jolene with her.
Yes.
It's been really crazy. To me, she is just the most iconic female.
Yeah.
Her and Loretta Lynn are my two just favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you pay tribute to Loretta as well with your song. We'll move on from this, but what was the review you were doing at Dollywood?
It was a show called Country Crossroads.
Country Crossroads.
Country Crossroads. Okay. I wore like a white pearl snap shirt.
Thank you.
Polyester. A really big, ugly denim skirt. My hair was too big, and
you can never come. You cannot. You cannot say your hair was too big. That is,
I guess,
not
at
a
Dollywood
true statement.
That would not be a true statement. No. At 16, I was like, "How big can I get it?" And yeah, I sang everything from Dolly to Patsy Cline to June Carter Cash to Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I just want to encourage everybody who goes to Nashville as a tourist, get in the car, drive a couple
it's
of
two
hours.
2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Go.
And not only Dollywood, but Pigeon Forge itself is a mind-blowing experience.
It's like Redneck Vegas.
Without the gambling, exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. There's a Titanic experience.
There's an upside-down building.
Thank you. There's a Jurassic Park situation.
Ripley's Believe It or Not. Yeah,
Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. We're not paid by Pigeon Forge Tourism here.
We should be.
It is really super fun to go there. Hey, congratulations on Hummingbird.
Thank you.
This is so great. So we've got the beautiful new single, which is the title track, right, for the new album?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Hummingbird, like, it really conjures up something for me, Hummingbird. But, you know, it's not about me. You tell me about Hummingbird.
I wrote this song as one of the last songs for the album, and I had a completely different plan of what I was going to name the album and everything. And then I wrote this song, and I read where a hummingbird is actually a sign of healing, or that the healing process can begin and good luck is on the way. So I was like, oh my God, I was meant to write this song. This was meant to be so much more than just a moment on an album. And I think that this song represents kind of my artistic bluegrass background and just kind of that mountain Appalachian sound growing up in Kentucky and loving Alison Krauss and Nickel Creek and all these bluegrass artists. And it's really just a testament, like the imagery of it is kind of just saying, I know what I want, I know what I deserve, and I'm not going to wait for it. And the one that will stand the test of time is the one that was supposed to be there the whole time.
I mean, I think the message here is please do not mess with Carly Pearce.
You can't.
Like, please.
At this point, I will write music about you and it will not be good.
Can everybody just please stop trying to mess with Carly Pearce? She's got this.
But keep doing it because it kind of is nice for my music.
You can handle it.
Yes,
You can spin it into gold.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about being from Kentucky and your bluegrass and your Appalachian kind of roots there. Was there ever a moment where your career would have gone that way? Like where it would have been like, I like bluegrass, and you know, of course, I know there's elements of it and all of that. But when you talk about like Alison Krauss or Nickel Creek and some of these artists that are taking, I mean, even Tyler Childers, you know, who are taking this bluegrass sound and taking it in a new direction, but still at the heart of it is very much bluegrass. Was there ever a moment where you were going to do that?
Yeah, I think that back when I was kind of, I loved country music and I loved bluegrass. I did not grow up playing an instrument in the way that so many of the bluegrass.
Right.
I play guitar to get by, but I feel like you have to be able to play.
You got to saw that fiddle.
Like, Allison is an incredible fiddle player. The Nickel Creek kids are, like, insane. It just didn't feel like the right path for me in the moment. So it's fun now. I mean, like, I've had bluegrass bands open for me. They all know that I love them. I want to do a bluegrass record at some point and like bring in all the players that I love. So it's definitely like in my blood, but I just quite frankly did not feel like my musicianship could stand up.
It's fun. Because Dierks Bentley is also really into bluegrass.
So does Luke Combs.
Yes.
Yeah. We all kind of, I mean, I think when you grow up like loving mountain sounds, it's in your blood.
Absolutely. It's part of your DNA, for sure. When you were growing up in Kentucky, did you have kind of wanderlust? Were you wanting to see the world? You know, were you interested in the world outside of where you were?
I was interested in where music could take me.
Right.
So what's interesting about me, and anybody who knows me would
listen
tell you
up,
this.
We're getting something interesting about Carly like Pierce.
Some of my team is in here right now. I'm actually a serious homebody.
Okay.
But I love music and I love getting to have that fan experience. But naturally, I'm not really like, I wake up at the same time. I eat the same thing every day. I'm very routine. So the fact that it's ironic that I'm an artist because it's never been really something that I'm just so like.
It's good though. It gets you out of your comfort zone, I guess, right?
Well, and getting to have these different experiences with.
Sure.
All with the common ground of like my music is impacting people is awesome.
So you wake up at the same time every morning?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a morning person?
Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay. Are you like crazy morning person?
I mean, no, like 6 or 7.
That feels kind of crazy.
5 to 7, I guess. Yeah. But I'm also like falling asleep at 7 p.m.
Okay. So you're,
like, you don't ever watch a TV show with me. Don't ever watch a movie right. with me because within like 5 minutes, I'm asleep.
Oh my God. You're one of those people. We'll spend like 30 minutes deciding what to watch.
Yes.
Finally, we'll pick it. 5 minutes in, you're asleep.
Those memes of like the cat that's like, no, I'm not asleep. And the cat's like this. And then all of a sudden it just is like,
yeah, that's you. Me.
And that's I'll be like, you. I'm not asleep.
You're totally mm-hmm. asleep. Right. So you wake up at an ungodly hour. Fine. You eat the same thing? Like what, for breakfast? Or you just have things that you
like?
I am
like, I've got like my safe foods and like.
All right. What's your safe foods?
You know, I eat like a smoothie in the morning.
Sure.
Maybe like.
Nutritious.
A salad at lunch.
Okay.
A little snack around 3.
A salad even in the winter?
Yeah.
Wow, a winter salad.
A winter salad.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And then, you know, like I've got 4 dinners that I'll
rotate.
Make for literally like.
One of them is a pasta.
Oh, no. I don't
no.
eat pasta.
No carbs.
Spaghetti squash.
Spaghetti squash.
Or, you know, like a steak.
Sure.
Maybe some chicken.
Okay.
Like, I am boring.
Can you let your foods touch?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm not like that.
Because
I
felt
like
you maybe
that.
Couldn't let your foods
that's
touch.
Fair,
all right, you haven't
given
gone too far.
Which,
by the way, if that's you, that's acceptable and normal, and we love you.
Or what about people that, like, eat one thing?
Oh, yeah, like, eat all
eat
the
all
thing
that,
and then eat all the next thing.
Freaks me out.
Again, we support you.
We love you. Obviously, I'm weird. It's fine.
How do you feel about when you're in, say, the UK, and breakfast is a totally different experience? Okay, sure, you can get a smoothie. I can see that you're looking. Is this about beans for breakfast?
You know, it's tough for me.
Okay. Right.
I have finally found a place here 4 days in that I can get a smoothie or an acai bowl, which makes me
yes.
feel better. The idea, I'm not
Up
really...
Up until like 3 months ago, I thought it was acai.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Right. Okay. I only got it right.
Like somebody said acai and I was like, acai. It's,
acai.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Acai bowl.
Okay,
I
yeah.
like acai.
Thank you.
I'm not really a breakfast person in general. Like, I don't want all that.
Right.
So, like, looking at it.
And you're not even trying it.
No.
You're like, I do not need the beans for breakfast. Thank you.
I don't.
Okay.
I just, the beans and the, like, sausage.
Sure.
It's yeah. just, like, a lot.
I was talking
at.
To somebody from here who was talking about when they're in America and they get served breakfast, they're like, where are the beans? How do you
I mean,
eat
it
breakfast
totally
without
makes
beans?
Sense. It's like whatever you're used
yeah,
to.
Yeah, they were outraged by it. And I found myself apologizing on behalf of the whole of America that we
I
don't serve beans for breakfast.
I was outraged by the beans for
yeah,
breakfast. It just, like, would put my stomach, like, it would
sure.
be a situation that's, like, not going to go well for anybody that's around
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm now fully on board with beans for breakfast. You know, I've been here a long time.
And you like it.
I'm totally. It's
the
protein.
Thing.
What a good healthy source of protein
yeah.
to start your day off.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Stick
Maybe.
To your smoothie.
Maybe
stick
I'll...
to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Exactly.
You're fine.
Exactly.
Can we talk about the Grand Ole Opry, please?
Please.
Because this is such a moment in every like country music artist's life, making their Grand Ole Opry debut, mm-hmm. let alone being invited to be a member of the mm-hmm. Grand Ole Opry, returning to the Grand Ole Opry. You know, talking about kind of your journey from Kentucky to where you are now, the Grand Ole Opry, did it figure in your head as you were kind of going through this?
Oh, when I was 5, my
right.
grandparents, they had these books of the Opry on their coffee table. And I was like,
right.
and I don't know why, but I was like, I'm going to play there. So from the time I was 5 until I was 25 when I played for the first time, it was like the top goal for me. And then I obviously wanted to be a member, but thought that's, you know, that's not something that you can just be like, I want to be a member. How do I do that?
Yeah.
But it was always like one of my top goals. And to this day, getting inducted into the Opry, I feel like I look at the Opry as so much more than, it's a part of my brand because I'm so passionate about preserving the country music that built all of us and preserving that stage where if you have ever mattered in country music, you've stepped on that stage.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like passing the baton to the next generation. So now I feel like I'm one of the ones that has it and I just want to make sure that I do it right.
Do you have a mailbox backstage?
I do. And people send you mail.
Literally, yeah.
Like they love it. And it feels just like, not in the day of social media and all that. It's like, oh, you get fan mail and they love it and it's cool.
It's super great. Yeah, my friend Kelly Sutton.
Yes!
First
I love her.
Female staff announcer at the Grand Ole Opry, which is crazy.
She's amazing.
That's also crazy, but she's amazing. But yeah, the last time I was there, I was backstage with her and she pointed out the mailboxes. I was like, I never knew that you get your own mailbox.
Yeah, and they're really big into like each time giving you your stack.
Oh, it's so good. Cute. It's so good. And you get free iced tea.
You do, and popcorn.
And popcorn. Yeah. I know. It's literally why this isn't implemented across the globe at every venue. I do not know.
I agree.
So what is next for Carly Pearce? And I'm asking you this not in kind of like, tell us what's next, you know, roll out something. I mean that in a kind of talking to you. You seem like the type of person, like, you just know. Like, you believe it. Or maybe even you don't, it's not even like an active thing you believe it. You just know it. Like you knew that you were going to move on from Dollywood.
Yeah.
You know, you knew that you were going to have this career. Are there things that you still are yet to achieve that you just know are going to happen?
I mean, I would love to get into acting.
Yes. Okay, let's dig into this. Don't be afraid of saying that.
That's
It's a great
important thing.
I
have a musical theater background. And
okay, so favorite musical, please?
Probably Wicked. But I mean, like, I would love to...
Not Shocked?
I do love Shocked.
Shocked
Shane would
great.
Be like, say Shocked! I do love Shocked. It was actually so funny.
Coming to London.
I saw that, which is so exciting.
Isn't that exciting?
So
when you say acting, you would you do Broadway?
I would.
Like, would you
it
do,
wouldn't
like...
be the first...
It wouldn't be your first pick.
No.
So if they were like, hey, will you be Roxy Hart in Chicago?
If they said, would you be Loretta Lynn? Yes. It would have to be something.
Is there a musical with
Loretta? No, but there should be. Maybe there's going to be. I'm saying like if
Coal Miner's Daughter, the musical.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Okay. It would have to be something like that.
Would you do Wicked?
I don't think I could. I'm so...
You mean from a time perspective?
No, from like a talent perspective.
I refuse to accept this negativity.
I could do Shocked.
Okay.
It's not even negativity. It's more like I'm such a realist of like what I'm good at. And I would want to make sure that whatever I did felt like authentic to me. Like Dolly, for instance.
Right.
I've watched her do things like Steel Magnolias and 9 to 5 and all these different things where it was authentic to her. Or Reba, like doing what she's done. Annie, Get Your Gun.
Annie, Get Your Gun, yeah.
I feel like they've been so smart about making sure that
Dolly would not do a Broadway musical, by the way. I asked her. She was like, no, I do not want to be somewhere that long doing the same thing over and
That's
over
hilarious.
Again. Which
I
makes total
her.
Sense.
It's so cute.
Carrie Underwood was also like, I will never. It sounds like I ask everybody about Broadway musicals. but Dolly, we were talking about 9 to 5, the musical. Carrie obviously did
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music. And she was like, no, I never want to do that again.
Well, I feel like Dollywood was kind of that. It's like you went to the theater every day. So to me, it feels familiar to where I would not be opposed to it at all. But I do want, like, I love music and music will always be, and songwriting will always be like the heartbeat of things. But I do think like you can elevate and just get outside of your comfort zone. Like, I'm ready to do something that makes me nervous.
Oh, good. Yeah.
If that
makes
sense.
Again, out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right. Just before you go, so the collaboration that you did with Ashley McBride, the Grammy Award winning collaboration with Ashley McBride, it was just the third duet between two solo women to top the country airplay chart. Like, that all sounds muddled up. Basically, there has not been a lot of women being supported on country radio, either solo or duet, in general, in America. Does it feel like it's opening up? Because you are one of the few that actually get a lot of radio play in America. And, you know, there's always been this conversation about country music opening up, whether that's to women, minority voices, sexuality, whatever it is. Do you feel like it's getting better?
I do. I have been one of the ones over the last few years that has been like, if we could just turn the focus to make sure that the art, because you look at the 90s for women or the early 2000s.
Oh my God, the actual pinnacle, yeah.
But their songs were great.
Yeah.
And their artistry was great. And they brought something to the table that was connecting with women. And so I've kind of been like, as I've started to see some women, you know, I feel like Kelsea Ballerini and Maren Morris, they kind of beat the door down for me to come in. And then I was here and, you know, now you're seeing and Ashley and then Lainey and Megan Maroney and all these girls. It's like there's great art going on.
Yeah.
And I think when there are great songs, they will find their way. And you're seeing women, no disrespect to the men, because obviously like they're putting out great stuff too, but the women are hitting huge right now.
Yeah.
And it's because the writing and the artistry is so great. And I just feel like we're really showing women can I mean, what has happened to Lainey Wilson in a year and a half is like, you go and you're going to tell me that women.
Yeah.
No, she's a great artist. Like she's great and her songs connect with people. And it's like at the end of the day, whether you are male or female, like if you put out a great song that's going to, and it connects, you will win.
Yeah. And women can write songs that everybody connects to. You don't have to be a woman to
I have men come to my shows and scream my heartbreak ballads.
Yes.
And you're like,
that was me. I was on producer Adam's shoulders.
I love it.
Crying.
Yes. That's what I like to hear, kind of.
And also, the way that country music is opening up, not just in terms of that stuff, but in terms of sonically.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment we have, whether it's Noah Kahan,
yes,
Dylan Gossett, Tyler Childers that we talked about earlier, Zach Bryan. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, these people were not country. And what I mean by that is like country wasn't embracing that sound, you know.
No.
And it's many things, but it also sits under this big umbrella that we call country. And then Beyonce comes rocking in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she can do country, everybody. Mm-hmm. This is okay. Calm down. There's room for everybody. That's how I feel. Is that how you feel?
I just think if anybody wants to explore their, you know, do something that makes them nervous, by all means do it.
Like we don't have any drama with a country artist turning their hand to pop.
No.
You know, we go, oh, okay, they're doing pop. There might be some grumbling. But, you know, in general, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. So why do we have a problem with artists outside of the genre going, actually, there's something really valid in this. It connects to me, and I want to do a country song as well.
I mean, for me, I totally get why people would want to write country music because, to me, it's the most authentic. It's not a track. It's not a top line. It's like the heart of the human experience. So to me, I'm like, of course they do because it's probably bringing them back to a grounding sense of their childhood or something, an experience that's making them feel human, which I think when you're Beyonce, I would have to think like you feel so much larger than life that a grounding could make you feel like a human being.
I mean, often when I imagine I'm Beyonce, I do feel that way. So I think you're right about that, Carly Pierce. Hey, it was a joy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having a chat with us.
Of course.
And now here is Carly Pierce giving her live rendition of Defying Gravity.
I was like, where's he going?
Kidding. See you later, Carly.
Thank you.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Byers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.